Father in heaven, Father, our prayer and my prayer is that as we study scriptures and as we go into hearing your word, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will be with us, because it's not about what the preacher says or how he does it. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit taking your word and placing it upon people's hearts. It is your Holy Spirit helping people understand your word, and it's your Holy Spirit that draws us closer to you. So, Father, even if I speak words that are not even understandable, may the Holy Spirit take those words and make it into a message for people to understand your word so that they may draw closer to you. With that being said, I want to ask that you will place your words upon my lips, and that I will not speak my own message, my own thoughts, but I will only convey what you have placed upon my heart to share with your people, with your word. Bless us now as we go forward. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, while it is true that fathers have done amazing things, and even routine things, in my opinion, are pretty amazing, isn't it true the reality is, whenever, not just fathers, mothers or pastors or any individual, when we do anything good, anything praiseworthy, anything honorable, isn't it because our Heavenly Father is working through us? Isn't that right? And so, ultimately, yeah, fathers, we honor them, we acknowledge them, but really the praise and honor and glory ultimately belongs to our Heavenly Father. And today, rather than so focusing on our earthly fathers, our human fathers, I want to focus on our Heavenly Father. So, let's see if we can get this going. Matthew 7, verse 7. So if you have a Bible, you can turn with us to Matthew 7, 7. If not, it's on the screen. And the words of Jesus, he says, and I'm sure you have heard this actually many times, right? This is one of the most famous verses in all the scriptures. We have a song about it, right? Seek ye first, right? And Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be what? Open unto you. But did you know that this expression, when Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, now, while we cannot see it necessarily in the English, and I'm not a big proponent of always going to the Greek or the Hebrew, but in this case, it does reveal something about this passage that we would ordinarily miss if we do not actually, or it would be easy to miss. Did you know when Jesus says ask, when he says seek, when he says knock, that those words in the Greek are in this particular verb form, we call it the imperative. What that means is this: an imperative is a command. Is it what? A command, as in stop, go, march, right? And so what Jesus is saying here is not a suggestion, it's not a recommendation. He says when he addresses the crowd, and ultimately he's addressing us, he commands us to ask, he commands us to seek, and he commands us to knock. Which means if he commands us, this is something that he desires greatly for us to do. He wants us to ask, he wants us to seek, and he wants us to knock. In addition, there it is, imperative. It's a command. In addition, it's not just imperative, it's in the present imperative, and it doesn't really matter the technical expression, but what ultimately that means is this: a present imperative is a verb that is in continuous action. In other words, it's not a one-time deal. And so when Jesus says we are to seek, we are to ask, we are to knock, it's not a one-time thing, but it's a lifestyle. Now that makes a big difference, right? Now I'm not saying if Jesus says no, that we continue to ask. No, it's not about that. But we should have a lifestyle of asking, a lifestyle of seeking, a nice lifestyle of knocking. It's not a one-time deal, but it's incorporated into our daily walk as a lifestyle. But would you have, you have to ask yourself, by the way, I kind of forgot the key words of the day, but so I'm going to actually, yeah, it's William has it. The key word of the day is Father. Before I forget, I'm going to just give it to you. The key word of the day is Father. So, the question is, why would Jesus feel the need to give us a command to ask, to seek, and to knock? Isn't that something that we all routinely do anyway? Isn't that something that comes natural? Whenever we need something, we do ask, and whenever we need, we seek, and I don't know if we knock, but I would think we do on, hopefully on a daily basis. But he saw a great necessity to say, I command you to ask, I command you to seek, I command you to knock. Could it be? It's because Jesus recognized that sometimes we are reluctant to ask God. Could it be that Jesus also saw that we are often reluctant not just to ask, but to seek and to knock? Could it be that sometimes we don't want to ask? Could it be that sometimes we don't want to seek? And sometimes we don't want to knock? You see, when we are in need, when we really need something, like the things that we think we need, it's easy to go to God and say, God, please, I would like this. You ask when you see basically something that you want. And it's easy to seek the desires of our own hearts. And it's easy to knock at the doors that we have chosen, that we want God to open. But when it comes to asking for the things that God wants to give us, it's not always easy. When it comes to seeking for the things that God wants us to find, it's not also that easy either. And when it comes to knocking on the doors that God wants to open, we are often reluctant to knock. I see, if we were to ask God for the things that He wants to give us, sometimes we're afraid that we might not like what we receive. So we are hesitant at times to ask. And we are afraid that if we seek God for the things that are heavenly, that are spiritual, the things that God wants to give us, we might not find what we find. And when we knock on God's doors, we're afraid that we won't like what is behind that door. So we are hesitant and often reluctant to ask and to seek and to knock. So Jesus, recognizing human nature, recognizing the spiritual condition, Jesus says, I command you to ask, I command you to seek, and I command you to knock. As if to say, test me. And try me and see how good the Father in heaven is. As he recognizes this spiritual dilemma, Jesus also puts our worries to ease. He addresses our doubts, our lack of trust, and our misunderstanding of God's character. How does he do this? He gives us an example of this father-son relationship, how that would shed some light on our relationship with God, the Father in heaven. Now, our relationship with Father and Son is not perfect. In fact, it's imperfect, so it has its limitations, but we can get a glimpse of our Heavenly Father's relationship by learning about our father-son relationship here on this earth. Let's look at a few verses. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Scripture says this, or what man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf or bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake? Will he? Verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him. So rather than addressing all of them, ask, seek, and knock, he addresses one aspect of it, which is to ask, and he uses to basically teach us something about asking and seeking and knocking before God. And no matter, we recognize that no matter how good and how loving our human fathers can be, there will always be limitations and imperfect examples. And as we are all sinners, that scripture says that we have all sinners and fallen short of the glory of God. So as sinners, we all fall short of the glory of God, fathers included. Yet even as sinners, fathers are still able to do much good, especially when it comes to our own children. I know, actually, I have friends that hate kids except their own. Maybe it's some people the opposite, right? They hate their own kids but love everyone else. I don't know. But I have some friends that really don't like kids at all except their own. So it teaches us that fathers like are able to do good to their children, especially their children. And if your child is hungry and asks for bread, how many of you here will give him or her a bowl of rocks, right? Raise your hand if your son or daughter says, "Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some bread?" And you go to the back our yard and bring back a basket full of dirty rocks. And here you go, son. Enjoy yourself. There's a couple of people that actually said they will. So maybe I need to change my message. But I know the reality is that all of us would not do something like that. When you see your child in need, they ask for bread, you're going to give them food. And if your son asks for a fish to eat, would you put their life in danger by giving them a poisonous scorpion to handle? The answer is a clear no. So what Jesus is really saying is this: we as parents, yes, we are imperfect. Yes, we are sinners. But even so, when our children ask for food, they can trust that we will honor that request. And that we will not replace goodness with evil. We will not replace the fish with a scorpion. We will not replace the bread with the rocks. We will not replace that goodness with evil. And so, even in our earthly relationship, we have some level of assurance that our parents, our fathers, will give us that which is good. With that understanding, if that is the case, should we not be able to trust our Heavenly Father even more so? I think that's what Jesus is really ultimately getting at. We should be able to trust that our God would not only give us that which is good, but basically, it will go beyond what we expect from our earthly fathers, that God will bless us even more so. And we should be able to trust that our God will give us that which is good, because not because God is an example of goodness, that is true, but more so because he is the definition of goodness. He is entirely good and loving. And because goodness is who God is, he will never give us anything less than that which is good. So Jesus gives us this imperative, this command that says, ask. We are to ask. We are to seek. We are to knock. It is not a suggestion. It is an imperative. It is a command that Jesus gives us. And with that command, actually, Jesus also gives us a promise. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. For everyone who asks, what? And he who seeks, and it's to him who knocks, it will be. And so you see those three words, receives, finds, and open. Once again, if you were to look, dig a little deeper and pull out a Greek dictionary or whatever you want to call it, and you were to do a little investigating, you would see that those three verbs were something called an indicative mood. And it really doesn't matter the technical aspect. What that means is this: an indicative verb is something that expresses certainty. Expresses what? certainty. It is a promise that it will happen. So when Jesus says we are to ask, we are to seek, we are to knock, then he follows it up with verse 8 and says, when you ask, you will receive with certainty. When you seek, you will find with certainty. When you knock, those doors will be opened for sure. It is not a probability, it's a certainty. So Jesus makes this promise that when we ask, we will receive with absolute certainty, and knock and seek as well. But for those of us that are afraid to ask God because we might not like the answer we receive, the message for you is, God is saying, do not fear. I am your Father in heaven, and I will only give to you that which is good. For those of us finding it difficult to seek the things of God, especially the spiritual things, the godly things, the heavenly things, for those of us who are seeking difficult to seek those things, God wants us to find. And when we find, we will discover that God's goodness will far exceed that of the goodness of our own family, our own fathers. Finally, for those of us who are reluctant to knock on the doors that God wants us to open, our Heavenly Father is saying, when I open the door, I will be behind that door. And whatever door that God opens, it will be good. God bless you guys.